Good morning, everyone. I would like to thank everyone on for Thursday night for the Engage, for everybody who helped and came along. There's one notice about the film night next Saturday night. The movie night is Newcastle on Film, done by Newcastle Archive recently, put together lots of amateur footage of Newcastle throughout the decades. So lots of footage not seen before. So it should be an interesting film. Can we just say the prayer at the top of the sheet? Dear God of all, as we come to worship, we give thanks for all who have prayed in this place, whose gifts are living legacies, whose work we are up to. Thank you for the uncommon ministry of your people here. Amen. I would like to welcome Jeff here this morning. And now we sing our introit, number 24.
Well, good morning, everyone. Thank you for your welcome. We were going to use a bit of technology this morning. We might still do so, if God intervenes. The theme for our service this morning is hold firmly to faith and pass it on. We continue our worship with hymn number 499. Great God, your love has called us here as we by love for love were made. And now we turn to God in prayer. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, you call us as you called your first disciples to follow you. Not simply to believe, nor merely to declare our faith and confess you as Lord, but to keep on following wherever you lead. Help us to follow you faithfully, walking wherever you might lead. Help us to hold firm to your example, pursuing the way of love and accepting the road of sacrifice. Help us to hold on through the life of discipleship, not allowing ourselves to become distracted, nor to lose heart so that we wander away from you. O Lord God, you know well that life isn't always easy. There are times when we feel exhausted, overwhelmed, defeatist. Remind us then of those who have gone before us, keeping the faith and carrying the torch and handing it on with perseverance. Remind us of the fellowship we share with all your people and the strength we can gain from one another. Remind us of our responsibility to those who come after us and the example we need to pass on in order to encourage and inspire them. Above all, remind us of Jesus, his willingness to endure the cross for our sake, his faithfulness to the end. So give us strength to carry on, faithful in turn, in the knowledge that you are waiting to receive us and to grant us the joy of your kingdom, the treasure of everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. The Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Are we ready for the slides yet? Otherwise, I'll just have to tell you what's on them. Sorry?
Are they on the USB stick?
Yes, they are. Yeah. Yes. Yes, there's only one. Oh. Just talk among yourselves. Yeah. Of one has been trained not to panic. Technology is wonderful. I don't usually use it, and now you know why. Oh, there we go. Right. I expect all of us have played this game at one time or another, but maybe you haven't yet, Peter. He has. Oh, the education's wonderful. It's called Pass the Parcel, of course. And you can see there's a rather large parcel, well wrapped up, with many, many layers of newspaper on it. And the game, of course, is, as we all know, when the music starts, you pass the parcel on. And when the music stops, David, then you can take off one of the wrappings. And then the music starts again, and you pass the parcel on, until all the wrappings are off except for one, and then the person who gets that takes the prize inside. Even though when we grow up, we have games where we pass things on. Here's two men, and they're running and they're passing on a baton. The man in black, I think, has only got one arm, and I don't know whether the man in yellow has two arms or not. It may be disabled games. They look as if they're holding hands, but they're not. They're actually passing on a baton. And that gives you something like this, where one person holds it and the other person grabs it, and then the person who's holding it lets go, and the person with it runs on to finish the race. I want to show you another baton. Whoops. And this is the Queen's baton. And this is the Queen's baton relay. And it was done for the Commonwealth Games in 2014, which were held in Glasgow. And this is the last leg of this particular baton. Now, this baton has travelled more or less around the whole of the world. It's travelled around the whole of the Commonwealth. It's managed to travel, before it gets to Glasgow, 190,000 kilometres. It started off in India, because that was where the last Commonwealth Games were held. And from then, it went into the Southern Hemisphere, into some of the islands, into Australia, New Zealand, and all the Commonwealth countries. And gradually, it found its way back through Europe, and then Canada, and then back to England, and then Scotland. And the man carrying this is called George Parsonage, and he's from the Glasgow Humane Society. I don't know why he was picked, but presumably that was because he does a wonderful job. What he does is, he and one or two others have the rescue boat in the River Clyde. So if somebody falls in, and it happens quite often, I think, on a Saturday night, they go and rescue them and make sure they're safe. So that's George coming up with the torch. And there he's handing the torch on, or he's letting the brownies from some Glasgow companies have a hold of the torch. In the top of the torch, there's a little container there. And that's got the Queen's message in. And the Queen put a message in that at Buckingham Palace before the baton went off. And at the Commonwealth Games, that's opened and the Queen reads out her message to the Commonwealth. So this was about passing a message on. And there's George with all the brownies holding the torch high. Now, this brownie who's in green here isn't a seasick brownie. That's the symbol for the Commonwealth Games. That was called Clyde after the river. And there's a huge Clyde in the Civic Hall in Glasgow because it was taken and put in there. And there's some little Clydes in the window, as you can see. I want to tell you a little bit about another man who passed on a message. And that was St. Paul. And you can see all the places that St. Paul went to pass the message on. So, although we need to hold on to the message, we also need to pass it on. So here's the saying for the month. Hold firmly to the message and pass it on. We're going to sing another hymn now, after which you'll be going out, right? So we'll have a little blessing at the end of this hymn for our young folks. And our next hymn is number 449, Lord of Creation, to you be all praise. Lord, bless our young people as they leave us now. As they have heard the message, help them in their turn to pass it on to the glory of your name. Amen. Thank you, Alan, for sorting us out. The notices are as printed, and now our offering for the work of God in this church and circuit will be thankfully received. Lord, holding on and letting go seem to be contradictions in terms. But we know that as we hold on to you in faith, we are called to let go and share the talents and gifts you have given us. So take this offering, we pray, this token of our love, and use both it and us to spread your message of love through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Old Testament lesson this morning comes from the book of the prophet Isaiah, when Isaiah is challenged to take the message. And Helen is going to read for us now.
This reading is taken from Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 to 8. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried, "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth. And he said, see, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, your sin atoned for. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And I said, here I am, send me.
Have you heard God's voice? Has your heart been stirred? Are you still prepared to follow? Hymn number 662. We'll have two New Testament lessons this morning. The first one is from the Gospel of St. Luke, and Ida is going to read for us now.
This is from Luke chapter 5. Jesus calls the first disciples. One day Jesus was standing on the shore of Lake Genesaret while the people pushed their way up to him to listen to the word of God. He saw two boats pulled up on the beach. The fishermen had left them and were washing the nets. Jesus got into one of the boats, it belonged to Simon, and asked him to push off a little from the shore. Jesus sat in the boat and taught the crowd. When he finished speaking, he said to Simon, push the boat out further to the deep water, and you and your partners let down your nets for a catch. Master, Simon answered, we worked hard all night long and caught nothing. But if you say so, I will let down the nets. They let them down and caught such a large number of fish that the nets were about to break. So they motioned to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. They came and filled both boats so full of fish that the boats were about to sink. When Simon Peter saw what had happened, he fell on his knees before Jesus and said, go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. He and the others with him were all amazed at the large number of fish they had caught. The same was true of Simon's partners, James and John, the son of Zebedee. Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men. They pulled the boat up on the beach, left everything, and followed Jesus.
And our epistle is from the first letter to the Corinthians. And John is going to read for us now. Sorry, Alan.
Go by any name, but really. Thanks, Jeff. If I can take the liberty just before I do read, actually, to say thank you, actually. I know it's easy to come in and troubleshoot the computer. I find that easy. But thank you to those who do actually come in every week and sit there and do the sound. This week, someone had unplugged the cable from the back. So that's why it wasn't working. It's not really Liz's fault, you know. So actually, to come in and do it every week and sit there all service, thank you to those. And now, what Jeff actually asked me to do. The first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 15, the first 11 verses. And it's entitled The Resurrection of Christ. Now, I would remind you, brothers and sisters, of the good news that I proclaimed to you, which you in turn received, in which also you stand, through which also you are being saved, if you hold firmly to the message that I proclaimed to you, unless you have come to believe in vain. For I handed on to you as of first importance what I in turn had received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he also appeared to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unfit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace toward me has not been in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we proclaim, and so you have come to believe. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Loving Lord Jesus, you call us by name. You say to us, follow me. You ask us to carry our faithfulness and your message into the world, aware of the culture in which we are set, and ask us to listen and seek for your opportunities. You speak to us through the voices of journalists, political planners and commentators, and deep thinkers. We pray for those who question our complacency by speaking out against injustice and oppression. You speak to us through the voices of those with whom we work and play and live. We pray for those we know whose conversations with us challenge us to show your love in our everyday lives. You speak to us through the voices of the needy, the unwanted, the dispossessed. We pray for the victims of greed and warfare who cry out to us for help. Loving Lord, you say to us, carry my message into the world. Help us to know and do your will. Loving Lord Jesus, you call us by name. You say to us, follow me through a lifetime of loving and giving. We pray for those who need our friendship, those who are neglected, needy, misunderstood. You say to us, follow me into the dark places of sin and suffering. We pray for those who need our support, those who are ill, sorrowful, or afraid. You say to us, follow me into the kingdom of light and joy and peace. We pray for those who hear the message of the hope to be found in you, our Lord, our Saviour, and our Redeemer. Loving Master, you challenge us to carry our faith and your message of love into the world of our everyday. Please help us in that task, in your name and for your sake. Amen. Hymn number 520. Give to me, Lord, a thankful heart and a discerning mind. Have you noticed how very young children like to hold on to a favourite cuddly toy or a blanket? They go everywhere with it, or rather, it goes everywhere with them. And they get really upset and anxious if they cannot find it. Now, it might be all sweetness and light in the Dettol advert on the television, where the toy is taken and washed. But in reality, I find that if you take it away to wash it, there are absolute ructions. And whatever you do, don't ask them to share it, because that is definitely off the agenda. Although there are always exceptions to the rule, and that may be true of your children or your grandchildren. But the fact of the matter is that we have to be taught to share. And some of us still find that hard to do, even in adulthood. Having said that, there are some things that we do need to hold on to with an absolute tenacity in order that our selfish nature is overcome. Things like integrity, decency, kindness, love, and faithfulness. And ironically, it's only when we hold on to those with purpose throughout our lives that we end up by actually sharing them and passing them on. Well, it's a paradox and no mistake. And yet we know that it's true. Because I'm sure we've all been inspired by the integrity, the decency, the kindness, the care, and the love of others, and been determined to live more like that ourselves. When we're confronted by our own unworthiness, I find it's often the gracious, selfless love of others which brings me to the realization that I need to change. If you feel unworthy at times, I have to tell you, you're in good company. Isaiah felt unworthy. Peter felt unworthy. Paul felt unworthy. It's in the Bible. And it's good to know that God can transform that. The Bible teaches us, even when we despair of our own integrity, not to give up, but to keep on trusting. If there's one prophetic book in the Old Testament that seems to come to the top of the shopping list for many, I guess it's probably the prophecy of Isaiah. There's wonderful stuff in all the prophetic books, but Isaiah seems to be the one that's most quoted and the one most remembered. And is that, I wonder, because Isaiah himself felt that deep sense of unworthiness, and the unworthiness also of the nation in which he lived, Israel? I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell amidst a people of unclean lips. In other words, there's not an ounce of decency or faithfulness in any one of us. He begins by bewailing the rebellious nature of the nation against God. And the upshot of that is that he's given a vision of an abandoned vineyard. And the vineyard, of course, is the symbol of Israel. It's a vineyard where the walls are broken down, where the vines are on the ground, where there's nobody tending it, where the weeds are growing up between. And the message to the people of Israel is clear. They're going to be taken out from the promised land and sent into exile. And Isaiah needs to remind them, God needs to remind them, of his covenant love, but also his judgment. And who's going to do that? Who's going to carry that message to the people? Well, the answer comes when Isaiah is overwhelmed by the presence of God in the temple. We heard the story of how he's just absolutely amazed when God's presence, the cloud, comes and the hem of his robe is seen in the temple. And Isaiah, of course, is absolutely repentant. And an angel comes and takes a living flame from the altar and touches his lips with it and says, see, this has cleansed your lips. Your sin is taken away and your shortcomings atoned for. And then God says, who will go with us? Who will go for us? I'll go, says the lad. Send me. He's been anointed for his task by that living flame. But I expect he had a bit of training after that before he really started. Actually, all the prophets, from Isaiah to Malachi, were faithful to the task. All carried God's message like a torch and handed it on. In most cases, it wasn't an easy journey at all. There were hurdles to get over, swamps to wade through, and mountains of opposition to overcome. And it was just the same for their successors, those first disciples of Jesus. Mind you, the baton they had to carry in the relay was somewhat different. Their call, their baton, didn't come by a vision or by an insight. It was actually handed to them in person by a person who walked alongside them and taught them and trained them and guided them. Indeed, as they were to discover, this Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God, was actually the message himself. The message of salvation and mercy and redemption through his sacrificial love, which they were told firmly to hold on to in faith and pass on. What's more, their story began in failure and ended in glory. They had to let go of one world in order to grasp another. They'd been out all night and caught absolutely nothing. And then Jesus asks to borrow Simon's boat, pushes out a little way from the shore, and carries on teaching the crowds. And then he tells them to push out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Master, says Simon Peter, we've been out all night and caught nothing, and you don't catch fish in the daylight. Nevertheless, I think that's a wonderful word. Nevertheless, if you say so, we'll give it a try. And what they get is beyond their wildest dreams. What they get is so bountiful that the boats begin to sink, and there's two of them that begin to sink. Out of nothing comes abundance. Out of man's failure comes a result they could never have anticipated. Never in the field of Galilean fishing had so much been hauled out by so few. And there was a promise that it would happen again, but in an entirely different way. What they had to learn first was to trust Jesus completely and hold on in faith, especially in extreme circumstances. And they left their nets and they followed him. Now, although they'd left the fishing behind, they had not abandoned the boat, because it was a handy means of travel across the lake. And one day Jesus said to them, let's get in the boat and cross to the other side. Well, it was fine to begin with. Really relaxing, really peaceful. And Jesus goes to sleep on a cushion in the stern of the boat. But then a storm comes down so suddenly that they could never have anticipated it. Galilee, I think, is about 8 miles wide. They might well have been in the middle. No hope of rescue. And the boat is starting to ship water at an alarming rate, so that it's about to sink. And they turn to Jesus and rouse him from sleep and say, don't you care? We're going to drown. And he gets up and rebukes the wind and the storm, and there's a massive calm. And the disciples say to each other, who is this? Who is this who sails through the storms without a care? Who is this who stills the blast when it comes? Who is this who calms the waters of chaos when they're overwhelming us? Who is this? They realize that what Jesus has done is what God does. He controls the wind and the waves. So the answer is quite plain. It may well have been a rhetorical question, who is this? Because they answer it themselves. This is none other than God with them. God with them, certainly, but also God with us through his Spirit, through Jesus' resurrection. What the disciples had to learn was what Jesus was teaching them through his earthly ministry was the message that they had to carry once he was no longer with them in person, or no longer with them in physical form, shall we say. The message of new and eternal life won through his self-sacrificial offering on the cross. That was the message to hold on to in faith, but also to be passed on in spite of opposition, in spite of persecution, in spite of derision. You know, that miraculous catch of fish wasn't a lucky chance. No, not at all. It was a visual demonstration of what faith in Jesus could do, that the night of fruitlessness would be transformed by Jesus' command into a harvest so bountiful that it takes your breath away. So where are we in today's church? Obsessed by a fruitless night? Washing our nets in frustration? Or hearing the voice of the Master, calm amid the storm? It is I. Don't be afraid. The response is clear. Even in the darkness and the despair, we are not to throw in the towel. We are not to give up. We are to carry on fishing with him. Or to put it another way, we are to hold firmly to faith in Christ and carry on delivering the message. It's what St. Paul found. As you know, he began persecuting the followers of Jesus. No doubt he believed that they were living a lie. They were living an illusion. Jesus was very probably dead, and his followers were carrying on as if nothing had happened. And that was until he met the living Jesus in person on the road to Damascus, and then everything changed. And a few days later, he was given the baton to take the message of the good news to the non-Jewish world. It was a big task, and it was a dangerous one. It involved going through a number of storms, both physical, mental, and spiritual. But he never wavered, holding firmly to the baton and the message and passing it on. From his experience, he wrote a letter to that fractious, fledgling church in Corinth in Europe. For the good news now had crossed the sea from Asia into Europe, where the superpower of the world, Rome, ruled more or less everything. And as we heard, he said this: "Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By the gospel you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you, otherwise you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you, as of the first importance, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried and raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom who are still living. And last of all, he appeared to me." Can you see the beginnings of a creed in that passage? A statement of belief substantiated by 500 independent witnesses. "Ask them," says Paul. "Ask them. They'll tell you the truth of the matter. and they'll tell you to pass it on. So what about us? We are in a privileged position. We have the message. We have the baton. We have the torch. All that we need now is to find a way to walk with it and pass it on. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 550. Forth in thy name, O Lord, I go.